We ask that you take your Bibles this morning. Turn with us to the book of Matthew. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Matthew chapter 28, and last week we looked at verses 1 through 10, where we have the record of Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, and according to the other Gospels, Salome, coming to the tomb early in the morning, and upon arriving there, they, seeing the stone was rolled away, and the angel, whose face was like lightning and his clothes white as snow, sitting on the rock, and the tomb was empty. And the tomb was empty, and in the tomb lie the linen cloth that Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea had wound the body in. And the soldiers who were appointed to guard the tomb so that prevent his disciples from stealing the body and saying that he is risen, seeing the angel descend from heaven, and his face going like lightning, and his clothes white as snow, and seeing him break the seal and roll the stone away, they were scared, so scared they were shaking in their boots, and became as dead men. They fainted. An angel spoke to the woman, telling them to go to his disciples and tell them that he's not here, he has risen. And tell them that he goes before you into Galilee. And there you shall see him, you shall meet with him. Today's verses, we'll be looking at verses 11 through 15. And let's read them. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, who will persuade him and secure you? So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. Title of this morning's message is A Fabricated Story. A fabricated story. As we look at this portion of Scripture, the first thing that we want to note in verse 11 is the testimony of the guard. Where we read in verse 11, when they were going. When who was going? When the women, when Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, and Salome, after receiving the word from the angel, and after meeting Jesus in the way, and receiving from Jesus that they would he would go before them into Galilee, and you tell his disciples that. And they departed from Jesus, and they went on to the disciples. They were the women that had come. And they were gone to tell the disciples of the empty tomb. Tell them that Jesus is alive. Jesus has risen. We've seen Him. We've seen Him in the way when we were there. And behold, He goes before you into Galilee. Well, also mentioned in this verse are the soldiers. The soldiers went in to Jerusalem. Some of the guard. Not all of the guard, but some of the guard went in to Jerusalem. Went to the chief priests. Went to the ones who, shall we say, hired them. Implored Pilate to give them a guard, and Pilate said, "You got it." And so they're credited with imploring this guard. And they went to the chief priest to tell them their story. The very ones that had been set there, had been set on guard to prevent such a thing as this from happening. To prevent his disciples from stealing the body and saying that Christ has risen. They brought word of what actually happened. How, we would say, how crazy, how stupid could these sheep be? I mean, such a miraculous thing is this happening. It had to be that Christ has risen. The tomb is empty. An angel of the Lord descended from the clouds, descended from heaven. Now, some of the guard brought word to those that employed them of a very great earthquake. They told them of this man, this man whose face glowed as lightning, whose clothes were white as snow, and he descended down out of the clouds. And not only that, he broke the seal that we had placed upon the stone, and he rolled the stone away. And we became so frightened at this sight that we shook and that we fainted. Oh, Jesus is not there anymore. The tomb's empty. Well, second thing we want to know begins in verse 12. Notice the assembly. Upon this word from the guards, the chief priests assembled together, the Sanhedrin, which were made up of the chief priests, of the elders, and of the scribes. They did not believe that Jesus had risen. Even receiving word from the guard, they still did not believe that Jesus had risen. But what are we going to do now? We've succeeded in putting him to death. But what are we going to do now? How are we going to deal with this? We certainly don't want these guards going out and telling what they actually saw. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms in chapter 69. And look with me at verse 27. This is what the wicked do. They add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come unto thy righteousness. They just pile iniquity on to iniquity. And so that is what the Sanhedrin does. They won't believe that Jesus has risen from the dead. And so they said, we'll bribe them. We'll give these men a bribe. Our text tells us they gave large money. They gave much money. They gave a large amount of money to the soldiers in order for them to fabricate a lie, fabricate a story that was not true. Enough money that would satisfy the soldiers and they would buy in to the plot. Consider that these chief priests, elders, scribes were very covetous individuals. So it's hard to believe that they would give of their own money, is it not? But this occasion, it was very needful. It was very needful that we give this large sum of money to these soldiers because we don't want the truth to be known. We'd rather the people believe a lie. Well, surely they would not have given the money from the treasury, would they? Money that was supposed to be used for sacrifices. Money that was supposed to have been used for the repairs of the temple. Money that was to be given to the poor. They had not had done that, would they? Taken from that money. Well, I think it's more feasible considering we're very covetous and they're not going to give of their own money. But all the money from the treasury, which was at their disposal, they were the Sanhedrin. They were the ruling body. You see, they could do such a thing. Well, this is what we want you to do, and all this money is yours. We want you to fabricate a story in verse 13. Instead of telling what you told us, you say to everyone that asked that his disciples came at night and stole the body while we slept. Turn with the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah in chapter 32. And look at verse 7 here. The instruments also of the churl, of those scoundrels, those wicked scoundrels, are evil. Their instruments are, they are evil, they are scoundrels, and their instruments are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speak. Wait. You see, they didn't care what they were doing to the poor. They didn't want the gospel completed. They didn't want the gospel told. That's what they were against. And so, any instrument that they could devise would be used to keep that from poor souls repenting of their sins and trusting that the Lord Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day for their sins, for their justification, so that they might be forgiven. Listen, this was not even a wise plan. This was a foolish plan. And it carried with it a reasonableness of being able to be disproved. Very easily to be disproved, you would think. For one, if they were asleep, how would they know anything? They're asleep. How would they know that what went on? They wouldn't. If one of them was awake, well, certainly he would have woke the rest to prevent this thing from happening. This thing that they fabricated from. He would have woke the rest of them. Come on, the disciples are trying to get away with the body. See the foolishness in this fabricated story? Not only that, consider his disciples. What had happened to the disciples? What had happened to the disciples when they took Jesus? Oh. They fell back and they went to following way far off. At the crucifixion of Jesus, where were the disciples? Where are the disciples now when Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus are tending to the body and laying it in the tomb? Where are his disciples? Well, they're, for fear of the Jews, they're locked up in a house somewhere. Is it even feasible that they would have come out in the night to steal the body away? The number of people that were in Jerusalem that time of the year, probably just like any city, big city in the United States of America today. You know, those cities never sleep. There's always somebody up and running about here and there. And not only that, if that were the case, then, and they really thought the disciples had stolen the body away, why weren't the houses of the disciples being searched? Even the house where they're locked up in. Why wouldn't they have been searching those houses if that were the case? Yes. What a wicked thing for these chief priests and elders, scribes. Consider who they were. Chief priests, elders, scribes. They were the religious people of the Jewish system. They were the religious leaders. And here they're bribing some individuals, the guards, bribing them that they might fabricate a story of lies and deception. Well, they were wicked. They were evil. As Jesus had already told them in John chapter 8, their father was the devil. Their father was Satan. This was intended by Satan. It was intended by Satan to destroy the doctrine of Christ's resurrection, to destroy the gospel, if he could. He could not prevent his resurrection, but he certainly could blind the eyes of them that believe not. Could he not? Remember what we're told in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, and verses 3 and 4? But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, to them that believe not. They are the lost, in whom the god of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Those that believe not, Satan has blinded their eyes, and he keeps them blind as long as he can. He kept me blind as long as he could, till the power of God quickened me, made me alive, gave me faith and repentance. Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, get back to our text here, Matthew chapter 28. You all are there, aren't you? Verse 14. I mean, this Sanhedrin, they're trying to cover all the bases. They say, and if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. Yeah, well, they might need to. You see, but if Pilate hears of this, that his disciples came by night and stole the body while they, the guards, were sleeping? You think that have much weight with Pilate? It was a pretty bad thing for if you were a soldier and you were given the keep of prisoners or something. And you let it escape? Turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts in chapter 12. In the book of Acts in chapter 12, we have the first apostle, his martyr. Herod had slain, whether he did himself or had James slain, James, the brother of John, had him slain with the sword. But he saw how much that pleased the Jews, and of course it would please the Jews, specifically the chief priests and elders and scribes and the Pharisees. Pleased them, and so he proceeded to take Peter. And he took Peter. And had him cast into prison, and he's in chains. And he's sleeping between two guards. He's sleeping between two guards. He's in chains. And not only that, there's guards at the doors. Doesn't tell us whether any of the guards were sleeping or not. But show the seriousness of you losing your prisoner. An angel came during the night and touched Peter. And Peter awoke and the chains fell off. And he leads Peter through the prison and out to where the church was praying for him. Peter thought he was having a dream. He didn't know this was really going on. And once he was out and free, the angel left him and he realized this really happened. He was set free. And he went to where the church was praying and knocked on the door. And Rhoda came and said, "Who's there?" And he said, "Peter, let me in." And Rhoda is so excited. Peter's here. Peter's out of prison. He's at the door. He's knocking. And she didn't even open the door and let him in. She ran to tell the others. The others, oh, you're crazy. Don't believe it. But they opened the door and there was Peter. Peter departed and went somewhere else. But if you look with me at verse 19 of this 12th chapter. And when Herod had sought for him, when Herod had sought for Peter and found him not, he examined the keepers, the prison keepers, those two guards that Peter was chained between, the ones that were at the door, guarding the doors. He examined them. And then he commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea, and there abode. Those prison keepers were slain. Why were they slain? Because they let a prisoner escape. They don't know how he escaped. It was miraculous. But that didn't save their life. Herod ordered them slain. Well, and if this story comes to the ears of Pilate, don't you worry. We will intercede on your behalf. And we will convince him, we will persuade him that it is true. That's what happened. And then we will secure you. We will make sure that you are safe from any punishment that you have coming to you. Because we just read in Acts chapter 12 that in those days that was a sure thing. That was going to be their fate. But these chief priests and elders, the Sanhedrin, said, we interceded before, and we got Barabbas released, and we got Christ crucified. And we'll intercede on your behalf, and we'll make sure you're safe. You'll escape any punishment that might come. Well, this plan, according to verse 15, is put into action. These soldiers, though they had been greatly frightened and confounded at the sight of the angel and the angel's descent from the clouds. And they knew what was done. Yet they could not pass up the money. I mean, all that money, that looked pretty good to their eyes. What is it that we're told in Paul's letter to Timothy? The love of money is the root of all evil. Well, they were evil. Well, why wouldn't they do an evil thing? Why wouldn't they take a bribe to fabricate such a story as this? So they take all that money. Doesn't tell us how much. It just says much. That means large. The meaning of that word is large sums of money that they were given to fabricate this lie and to fabricate it across the line. They took it. They took the money, all of it, and they did as they were instructed to do. Did as they were taught. Just what those Sanhedrin had told them to do. It did not matter that it was a lie. We're richer now. We got money. Now, more money than we've ever seen in our life. Now, well, verse 15 also tells us that this is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. That is, till at least the writing, Matthew's writing, of this account. Which, we're told that Matthew's writing of this account took place somewhere between 8 and 15 years after Christ's ascension into heaven. The saying that Jesus' disciples came in the dark of night, boy, that sounded good to those wicked Jews who did not want to believe that Christ rose again the third day. And so that a story such as this being fabricated, that his disciples came in the dark of night and stole his body away, it spread and became famous among the Jews. The Jews of that day and the Jews after that. Turn with me in the book of 1 Corinthians in closing. The book of 1 Corinthians. I want to read 11 verses. The Jews believed that story, that his disciples stole the body away. But Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, Salome, they had already witnessed that the tomb was empty. They had witnessed the angel saying, "He's alive. He's not here. He has risen." They met Jesus in the way. They fell down at his feet and grabbed hold of his feet, firmly, strongly grabbing hold of his feet, hearing him speak to them. Well, look at the testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." In other words, they believed it. These Corinthians believed it. The preaching of the gospel. What is that gospel? "By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, just what we've gone through in Matthew's record, and that he was buried, and again, we've gone through that record in Matthew, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We've gone through that record here in Matthew, the 28th chapter, and we've compared it with what the other Gospels say. All four Gospels give a record of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The empty tomb. Notice verse 5. And that he was seen of Cephas, Peter, then of the 12, and that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. The writing, Paul's writing of this letter to the Corinthians. But some are fallen asleep. Some have died. That witnessed Jesus. They saw him after his resurrection. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. All these people, these great cloud of witnesses to the fact that Jesus is not dead. Jesus is alive. He has risen from the grave. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. He wasn't there with the rest of them when they saw him, but when he was taken by the Spirit out into the Arabian desert after his salvation, he was caught up in the glory and he saw Jesus Christ. He spoke to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave him instructions, and therefore he got his apostleship because he was taught of the Lord Jesus Christ and instructed of the Lord Jesus Christ. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yeah, not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. This great cloud of witnesses that were witness to the fact that Christ is not dead. He is alive. He has risen. They preach the death, the burial, and the resurrection on the third day of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. It was witnessed by these witnesses. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13 says this, but evil men and seducers, oh, the Sanhedrin, they were evil. They were wicked. They were trying to do the bidding of their father, Satan, the devil, and they were trying to prevent the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're evil men. They're seducers. They bribed in order to fabricate a lie, that people might believe a lie rather than believing the truth. And we're told here in this second epistle to Timothy that they shall wax worse and worse. Those same evil men, they've only waxed worse and worse. And we have some today who deny the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They deny the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. They won't believe it. They rather believe a lie than believe the truth. The truth of God's Word. The truth of those who have witnessed that Jesus Christ is not dead. He is alive. But they've waxed worse and worse to this present day, deceiving and being deceived. They themselves are deceived, and they're going about deceiving many to follow their pernicious ways. Oh, we trust this morning that you're not deceived. We trust this morning that you'll believe in the death, burial, and that Jesus Christ rose again the third day. Brother Mike, come lead us in a song in closing.